Hello and welcome to the Tao of June, living an inspired life. I'm 40 years old. Yesterday, February 8th is my birthday, for those of you keeping track, for those of you who want to send me anything, you know, preferably something extremely expensive, but that's the day to send it. Anyways, besides the stupid dad jokes, I've turned 40 years old yesterday. Look at me, already acting old. Anyways, I'm driving to work, and I just wanted to share a few thoughts that I wish I had known when I was 20. I think I would have saved myself a lot of, you know, a lot of heartache and a lot of difficulty. But when I look back at it, honestly, if I could go into a time machine and meet my 20-year-old self, I don't think I would. I think I'd leave him alone and let him make all the mistakes that I made. I don't think I would go back and change any of it, because with each failure, with each heartache and heartbreak, and with each difficulty, I've learned something about myself. It taught me more about myself. It showed me how I have a tendency to run and hide when things get really hard, how I get impatient with myself and others, and I tend to lose focus, you know? And, the thing is, every time I had to confront these issues that I have, and, like, I don't know, just, I don't think that I would have confronted any of my shortcomings, my character flaws. I don't think I ever would have, first of all, been aware of them had I not gone through such difficulties like losing my business, having to close my shop down and going to severe debt, not knowing how I would ever get out of debt, that kind of debt. I mean, I'm still in debt, but nothing like that. It's manageable now. But, yeah, I don't think I would change a thing. I don't think I would tack myself on the shoulder before I signed that lease. And, you know, I don't think I would have told myself, like, hey, do you know what you're really getting yourself into? You know? I don't know. I don't think I would have changed a thing. Even some of the most horrible, most embarrassing failures, public failures, I don't think I would have changed that either. I think I had to go through all of them. But what I wanted to share is the idea of feeling like you're enough. And I think that as you reach these milestones in life, you hit 30, you're like, oh, gee. You know, but when I was 30, I was like, okay, well, I got 2 kids, you know, I got my own business going, I got a nice wife, you know, sometimes when I act right? But yeah, I mean, I kind of felt like I was doing pretty good at 30. That was 10 years ago. Yeah, I thought I was doing all right. I was getting started in a new career. I was starting, you know, as a new groomer. I had a lot of hope for the future. Yeah, at 10 years ago, I think I was actually much more optimistic and hopeful and enthusiastic about the future than I am now. Now, it's not that I am a pessimist or anything. It's not like I don't look forward to the future. It's just that I think I've matured, and I realize that there's no moment better than now, you know? There's no point in pushing off feeling content and happy, right? No use in pushing it off. It doesn't make sense to. And that's what I did my whole life. Well, I'll be happy once I become a groomer. And then once I got the official title, that was actually 10 years ago. I turned 30, and that's when I became an actual groomer with an official title as a groomer, with the actual paycheck of a groomer. It was 10 years ago. Wow, 10 years ago today. Because I remember it was almost like a birthday present to myself. I became a groomer. I got promoted. Huh, interesting. Funny how life teaches you things. And you come full circle, you come back to the place you were, and you see it as a new, brand new experience, you know? It's as if you're seeing it for the first time again. Because, yeah, I told myself, when I become a groomer, then I'll finally be happy. You know, when I finally rid myself of this bather title, you know, I'm just a bather. What does that mean? I bathe frequently? Because that's not true. You know, it just means I wash dogs for groomers. And I really wanted to be a groomer. Once I became a dog groomer, yeah, I saw a post from Facebook like 10 years ago or 8 years ago, whenever it was like, oh, I'm going to become a master groomer, a certified master groomer, and I'm going to try to win these competitions or at least participate, you know, get recognized. Recognition, it was so important to me. I wanted to feel validated, you know, I wanted to feel appreciated, you know, I wanted to feel loved by people because I had no love for myself. I realize that now. I really didn't like the person I was. I was kind of embarrassed, which is why I was happy to ask questions about people and get to know other people, you know, ask them about their life. And then people would say, like, wow, June's a great listener. Really? I'm just kind of ashamed to talk about my life. Not anymore, though. I talk about it quite frequently now because I realize the things that embarrass me the most about my life, the most embarrassing failures and mistakes that I made, I realized that by talking about them instead of hiding them and sharing the lessons that I learned, it actually helps people feel more comfortable accepting themselves as well. They're like, well, that guy, look at him. He obviously accepts himself for who he is, you know, the good and the bad, mostly bad, but he accepts himself anyways. Like, look at him doing it, you know? I guess it's all right. God's not striking him down. I don't see lightning bolts coming from the sky, punishing him for accepting himself for the embarrassingly flawed person that he is. Look at that. You know, maybe it's in a way to inspire other people to just be cool with yourself too. But yeah, it's just interesting because I am happy, but it's a different kind of happiness now. Before, it was more an eagerness to prove myself and get there. Finally get there. When I finally get there, I'll be happy. That's what I kept doing. And that's why I say that back 10 years ago, I really did have a much brighter outlook for the future, like a hopefulness, an eagerness towards my future. I was so eager to get there because when I finally get there, I'll be happy. Now, 10 years later, after so many trips and falls, I stumbled over so many obstacles. I wish I could have said I overcame each obstacle, you know, in spectacular fashion. But I honestly can't say that. I tripped and fell, and I've made a fool of myself in publicly falling flat on your face and people laughing and pointing at you, you know, and going through that for 10 years, wow, it's almost like I thought the universe was being unfair to me. I thought that I was the most unlucky person in the world. I tried so hard. I worked late nights. I woke up early. I dragged myself out of bed morning after morning, even though I only got maybe five, 6 hours of sleep because I got home at midnight working all day, dragging myself out of bed 6 in the morning to do it again. I did that for 2 years and went in debt. I told myself, wow, I didn't have to work this hard to go in debt. You know, that much in debt. I could have sat on the couch and ate potato chips, watched my favorite TV shows, and everything would have been fine. I wouldn't have gone that much in debt. Wow. But I went out there and I made a ruckus. And when shit hit the fan, I got really shitty. And I learned from all of that. And I'm glad I went through it. Because now, especially during my divorce, when I publicly talked about what was going on, but in a way that I was trying to hurt my ex and make her look bad because I was so angry. and I didn't care, and I wanted to hurt her. Knowing I would probably regret it later, but convincing myself because I was so angry, that's the thing about my temper. When it takes over, it convinces me that I'm really not going to regret it later, that I'm really not going to care. This time it's for real. And then I always regret it. I always regret it when I get angry and I allow myself to lose my temper. It's always shameful, embarrassing, and regrettable. But, I went through all of it. And for me, a desperate people pleaser, someone who is desperately looking for the approval and the validation from others, I desperately needed people to accept me because I could not accept myself the way I was. I needed to be perfect, and I knew I wasn't. And so I was not going to accept myself until I was perfect, which meant I was never going to accept myself. There's the joke. But yeah, so I'm glad I went through all of that, because that pain that I felt, that sting of embarrassment, shame, and regret, I even went on my Facebook live, streaming live, and I cussed people out. People who supported my work for a long time. People who would have considered themselves my fans. I told them to go fuck themselves, live, streaming. And I yelled it at them angrily, pointing my finger at the screen. Wow. How shameful, right? I'm still ashamed of myself when I think about how I behaved. But Eve, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, even if I had a time machine and I had the ability to go back in time, and I had the chance to stop myself from doing that, you know, just grab a baseball bat if I won't listen, because sometimes I'm hard to reason with. You know, once I see red, there's no reasoning with me. And I know that about myself, so I would have grabbed a set of nunchucks, right? Swinging around as fast as I could get it going, you know, get that momentum going. And I would have cracked myself right behind the head and stopped myself from going live on Facebook and making an ass out of myself. Even if I had the option to do that, the option's there. They're like, June, that was really bad. Why don't you go and stop that from happening? You know, save yourself the embarrassment. I would have said, nah, you know what? Nah, he deserves it. He deserves it. Let him go through it. He needs to feel that the pain of regret, and that'll motivate him. That's pretty much the only thing that's going to motivate him to change his behavior, you know? To try to become more self-aware and catch himself when he's going down, spiraling down that vortex, you know, spiraling down into anger, you know, and just allowing my ego to take over. How dare you? Do you know who I am? Do you have any idea who you're messing with? That's the ego talking whenever you feel that way. How dare you talk to me that way? Hello, ego. Nice of you to show up in this conversation. You know? But yeah. So, as I was practicing my archery yesterday, you know, I shoot a traditional bow. I shoot recurve. And I prefer shooting bare bow. And I'm actually going to go back to true bare bow, back to shooting off the shelf. I tried shooting off of an arrow rest. Anyways, I'm going off on a tangent. While I was practicing my archery, there was a few times where, there's a few sets actually, where I shot better than I've been shooting, you know, before. I'm making improvements. And I felt so happy and so proud of myself. And I wanted to share it with people. And I did. I did a couple times. I went on Instagram, especially because it was my birthday. It was my birthday. I gave myself a pass. I bragged on Instagram a little bit. I showed how I'm improving with my shot and my distance. Anyways, I remember having even a conversation with my ex's neighbor. Her name's Valerie, but we were talking about turning 40 and how I catch myself thinking whenever I make a good shot, oh, I wish there was someone here I could high five, you know, someone to share this moment with. And then my next thought is always, aren't you enough? Aren't I enough? Right? Would having someone else here make that moment more complete for me? Is that what I need in order for the moment to be more complete? Right? I don't know. And that's when I started to ask myself, aren't I enough? Isn't me being proud of myself, isn't that enough? Is it me accepting myself? How about that? For who I am, good and the bad, especially the bad, but just fully accepting myself, isn't that enough? Do I need others to accept me? Right? Enjoying it, that's one thing. I think it's natural to enjoy when others accept you and others are there to celebrate the moment with you. Not only is it natural, it would be weird not to enjoy it, right? What are all these people high-fiving me for making such a great shot? I'm excited and I'm happy for myself, you know, and all these people are happy for me and they're trying to give me high-five, like, I wish these people would leave me alone. You know, that would be weird. So I think that it's not only is it good, but it's natural to enjoy having that, but needing it, I think that's where it becomes dangerous, because we don't need it. The moment is complete without it. I am enough. And so are you. Here's the thing. I may not be enough for everyone, right? And neither will you. But I can be enough for me. And here's the joke. You'll never be enough for everyone. We will never be enough for everyone. Ever. So that if that's the goal, is try to be enough for everyone, we will always lose. It's a losing battle. The thing is, I am enough for me. I may not be enough for you. I may not be enough for everyone, but I'm enough for me. And that's enough, right? And you are enough for you. I'm going to end it with a quote from Maxwell Maltz from Psycho-Cybernetics. You are neither superior nor inferior to anyone. You're simply you. So just be you. And here's the best part. You don't even have to try. Because if you're trying, you're not being authentic. Just do what comes naturally. Just be who you are. Because that's all you can be. That's all you are. You're neither better or worse than anyone. You're simply you. So just be you. And do not be afraid to be seen. I honor the light in you that's also in me. Namaste.